The joy of sharing what Jesus Christ has done for you is awesome. The opportunity to be able to talk about something. When somebody else does something really nice, isn't it fun talking about what they have done? You know, it's fun to brag on somebody else and say, wow, they did this and this and this. And it's a way of being appreciative. And this whole idea of looking at the Great Commission and saying that we've been commanded to go and to be sharing the message of Jesus with everyone, everywhere. And so for the last 6 weeks, we've been walking this through. And Lord willing, today is going to be our conclusion of this series. It kind of bursts us into the next one as we move into, okay, what happened because of the Great Commission? We'll be moving into the church and what God has done and how the church is to work together as a unit, and talking a little bit about that even as we look at Serve Grants Pass. And then towards the rest of the summer, we'll be looking at your individual place in the body, the giftedness that God has given people and how gifts and ministry work together. But we started off with John 20:21 with the idea of being sent into the world. That Jesus said he sent them into the world just like he was sent. And in Luke 24, he talked about the fact that I want you telling this story. And we saw in Mark 16 that we were to tell that story to everyone, everywhere, that all creation might hear. And when we do that as a church, that those who receive that message are then to be baptized. They're to be embraced in their identity. And we are to choose to be identified as followers of Jesus Christ through baptism. And then he said, teach them to observe all I commanded you, that we were to follow Jesus fully. It's not a partial matter. It's a matter of doing exactly what he said in all things. We don't have the right to limit what he's talked about. And then last week we talked about that, lo, I'm with you always. And you're going to receive the power, and how we have been empowered to live by the very work of the Spirit of God. And so today I want to take you to John 15 and talk about just a little more of this heart relationship, because there's something to understand about the authority that comes out of connection and the transformation that comes out of connection with Christ. And so we're going to go to John 15 and talk about the fact that disciples obey. But, you know, I always got to distract you and go a little someplace else as well. But in Matthew 28:17, you know, we always start about verse 18, that where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. But I found it very interesting, looking again at that Great Commission, that the verse before it, when the disciples had gathered, where Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and it says in the 17th verse, when they saw him, some, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And that seems like, doesn't it seem like opposite directions? It says, some were worshipping. So the disciples come, Jesus has manifested his presence again. He's about to leave. He's been with them for 40 days now, displaying himself, teaching them, back and forth, doing various manifestations. And it says, and they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And I want to share that two ways. One is that idea of understanding that worship is the intention that God would have coming out of us. That everything about the Great Commission really is a declaration of the worth of God. Sometimes people get this guilt trip. I gotta go talk to people. I really don't want to talk to them, but I gotta go talk to them. You're missing it. If you gotta do this, I mean, that's just kind of like a guy saying, well, I've got to kiss my wife. I like kissing my wife. That's what I want to do, all right? And she's too far back in the back. But anyway, but I display that for you this morning. But I don't know where that came from. But the issue of seeing what Christ has commanded us comes out of relationship with Him. That you're talking about something you want to talk about because it's someone you're thrilled with. That is the work of the Great Commission. And that is the issue that leads us into this idea that we could be obedient, that disciples obey, that this is the basic thing. Disciples don't just know. They're not just aware. They're not just, hey, we come to church a lot, but they obey. Your response to God, your response to God defines your relationship. And I say that very directly and boldly because His response has already made your response possible. So He's already shown you how He feels. He's already shown you what He thinks of you. I love you this much, He says, when He died. He loves you. He loves me. And so it's my response back to Him that calls us forward. And so Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples in John 15. And I will try not to preach the first 11 verses. I just want to do 12 to 17. But it's all tied together, guys. So go home and read it yourselves. Soak in this stuff. This is what changes me, this word. And as I soak this in, this motivates, this empowers. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you. Love one another. Now remember, the Great Commission began with the words, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It could have been framed any way God wanted to. God chose to frame it that way, to put the importance, to put the authority, to put the power into it. Jesus said, I've got all the authority of heaven and earth. That's just mind-boggling. The creator of the world says, I come to speak this command to you. This is critical. And so the Great Commission is indeed the grand command of God. This is the plan of God, that His love would be spread throughout the world, and to every island, to every tribe. You know, when these guys were given this, they had no idea what it really meant. I don't think so, because it's still boggling our minds. But who would have known that when somebody took a boat down to Australia and say, oh, there's this island north of Australia, let's go take them the gospel. And so you land on an island the size of California that currently has about 5 million people on it. Who would have known that they'd speak 865 different languages? Not dialects, languages. And the great challenge of saying, we will bring that message to them in their language. Because that's what He commissioned us to do. So this command continues 2,000 years later for us. And so He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. The love is what motivates obedience. Love is what directs us after God. And so loving others like Jesus loves us is the central command of Christ. It really is. This is the greatest commandment of the Great Commission. And it's not a good idea. It's not a nice suggestion. It's not some personal advice. It is an authoritative directive. This is what you do. But when he commands me to love you, he requires me to respond to him. You understand that? I can't love you like he loves me unless I'm receiving his love myself. So even as he commands me, you love them. What I find, haven't you found? That you leak. You run short. You don't have what you need sometimes at certain moments, or so it seems. And so that pushes you back to Jesus to get it. But when he says, this is my commandment, friends, if I haven't got this point clear, I'm just going to try and, you know, tap the nail on the head one more time, all right? And that is that Jesus expects his disciples to obey him. He expects that. Can we have that expectation here at Jerome Prairie? Can we say, this is what we expect? If you're going to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I will respond to him. I will choose to obey. And when I see that this is not in line with him, that yes, I accept correction. That I will be a person who will join into the family the way he's called me to. So he says, he expects us to obey. In fact, he defines it back up there in verse 10 in a little bit different way. But he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, if you obey, you will abide. He says, when you respond, this is what creates the connection. When the team gathered yesterday morning to spread the good news across our city, we were all a little nervous. There was just that not knowing if the parade people were going to like throw us out because we were handing stuff out, or not knowing how people were going to respond, and had numerous people say no thank you, or just turn away completely, not say anything to you. And yet to say, I've been given something. I want to share this. And because of what's in me, I want to go past my uncomfortableness to do what he told me to do. So it's not about my comfort. Faith says yes to Jesus every time. That's what it does. It just says yes. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so the idea here, when I look through and see how many times that Jesus Christ repeats himself, it's a prioritize. It's an emphasis. There's things that you as parents say every time your kids go out of the house. There's things that we repeat things because we want to make sure that that's understood. So when we hear this, a disciple will do this. When you read, every time you get into the Bible, the point is that you're going to obey. Jesus expects a disciple will become an obedient one. That is the mark of a disciple. They obey. So understand that we're not just wrapping an idea out here saying, well, this might be nice. No, this is the lifestyle. All right? And so he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as. He could have said that you love one another more than you have before. And that'd be nice. You know, do a little better. That's what most of us tend to settle for. Isn't that right? We're trying to do a little better than yesterday. But that's not what he said. He said, I want you to love just as. And when I think of just as, I mean, that means in that same precise way, with that same fullness of spirit that he loved me with that same sacrificial love that he poured out for me, with that same commitment that will not turn even though those you love turn on you. You know, I think that's sometimes one of the surprising things in the body of Christ, is how often the body of Christ gives you a chance to love unconditionally. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you think, hey, we're in the body, we're the family, we're all loved by God, surely we'll all get along and be nice. Not so. I wish that were so. It's just not that way. We got flesh, and we've got temptation, and we got problems, and the spot that you think it ought to be easy to love one another just like Jesus does, and then that person doesn't draw love out from you. They flat irritate you. Some of you would use something different, but maybe not in the pulpit. You know. But friends, so when he says, I expect you to obey, then we follow that up with this very simple statement, that obedience is loving others like Jesus does. That's what obedience is. You can say, I'm following Jesus. I meet people say that all the time. Hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. What I want to say next is, show me. You know, I ain't from Missouri, but hey, show me. This is the mark. Jesus said, by this all men will know you're my disciples. He says, they have the right to test you based on whether or not you are going to relationally connect. Now, this is not just being nice, friends. I don't know how to... I'm just going to say it. I don't know how to get this point across. Jesus didn't just put a note on the top of the sky that says, I love you. He came down and he lived with people. He touched people that you and I wouldn't want to touch. He had lunch with people you would not have taken out. He did. And when he did that, other people around him said, how come you're hanging out with those people? Why? Because he wanted us to become disciples. So to fully follow Jesus, you have to embrace love as a lifestyle. And so when we come to this concept of discipleship and say, hey, I'm following Christ, this picture we have of the discipleship wheel is a concept that I think is critical, because I find many people trying to tie on a list of things. You're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this. Jesus Christ is the center and source of all life. He is the center and source. And so as I respond to him, life radiates out from me into every aspect of my life. And if it's not, then I'm quenching the power of the Spirit in that area. Does that make sense? And so yesterday, many people stepped out in the area of evangelism, perhaps one of the most quenched areas in the body of Christ, where people just won't speak to other people about the gospel and won't take the risk of having somebody say, I'm not interested. It's okay. Let them say they're not interested. There's other people to talk to. Okay. But when some people said, I'll present myself, then the work of Christ was allowed to grow farther. And the funny thing was, you know, as I got done with that whole thing, it was just like, I was so excited that it went so well. And we'd prayed and believed and wondered, you know, we had some doubts, we had some struggles, and yet I just looked at that and went, what if I'd have had 10 more people? You guys know I never quite seem to settle. I'm sorry, and I'm not sorry. I just don't. I don't think I'm supposed to settle. But what if I had 10 more people? We could have done all 2,000. We could have touched almost twice as many as we did. They were there available to have it. But maybe we didn't let the Spirit do that. And I'm just wondering, are there people in your neighborhood? Are there people in your workplace that you just haven't let the Spirit testify through you? So love them like Jesus loves you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. So he fills my cup and I share it. You know, that's this wonderful grace of God, that all I do in this life is give away what Jesus gave me. I'm not coming up with anything. I go spend time with Jesus. He fills my cup. And then I drink it and live it out. And that's what we're talking about, is that you drink it in, live it out. I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ. Do you feel like that? Amen. Do you really know that? I am loved. Can you guys say that with me? I am loved. Sometimes I find amongst Christians who really know and know that they know, they don't feel what they know. Now, I don't expect y'all to have the same level of emotion that I got. I'm not sure where that came from. Okay? Everybody's personality is different. I'm not talking about being a different personality. What I'm talking about is being fully you where you are with the love of Christ. And letting that flow out so that when you feel the hug of God, you smile. You know what I mean? It's when you feel that touch. My grandchildren are down. And my youngest grandson, you know, we're out walking through the grass, you know, and I stick my hand down there and a little finger grabs your little hand grabs your finger. And I don't know why that feels so good. But you grandparents know what I'm talking about. And some of you parents know that there is something special about that touch back, isn't there? And you feel that. What I'm saying is, are you feeling the touch of God? And are you responding? Are you smiling back? Are you rejoicing? Are you talking about that? Love and life flow from living with Jesus Christ in personal relationship. At the center, He is the supply. He's the well. And so when it says, love just as I do, then when that person in your life is awkward. Well, let's be nice. You might come up with some other words, but they may be just flat mean. They may be rude. They may be extremely selfish. Isn't that where we all were? So He says, I want you to love just as. When Jesus was being crucified, He was saying, Father, forgive them. He was praying for them. So you have people that God has placed around you. Yes, God placed them around you for you to demonstrate in difficult places, Jesus loves people like you. You look at some people and you go, well, hey, I don't think Jesus loves them because I don't. You know, I mean, I'm just being honest. So that's what you think. You know, you would never put that in your theology statement, but you know what I'm talking about. In that place, now hear me, in that place, you have not yet encountered the depth of God's love for you. Does that make sense? In that place, God's showing you, I've got more here than you've yet met. And when you're quenched up about somebody and about something, maybe it's the forgiveness you haven't poured out. Maybe it's the acceptance you're not giving. Maybe it's the restriction. Whatever it is that you've put upon yourself, He says, I want to do more. And He puts you in places where He says, I want to do more through you because I want you to love just as I have loved you. The same way, the same power, the same motivation, the same generosity. His love is so generous. He loves very selfish people. He loves very stubborn people. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
You know, I mean, I've been there. Maybe I should say I am there. Let's be honest. You know, we want to think we're farther than we are. Isn't that right? That's part of what holds us back. You think you're there and you're not even there yet. But I want to say, you know, it's encouraging to me to look at this family and say, I see fountains of the love of God springing up in some of you. It's so encouraging to see that and to know sometimes you're in a situation, you go, that person has been pouring out in this way for a long time. And it's just so touching. It's so encouraging. I still remember coming and talking to Y. Leach when we just had got here, and she was talking about, would you please get somebody to take over my Sunday school class? And it was so interesting because it wasn't because I don't want to do it. And she made that very clear. She says, oh, I just love teaching these kids. I'm just not a very good teacher. She says, so I just would like you to get somebody else that could teach better. She goes, all I know how to do is just love kids I wouldn't let her quit. He says, I can't make anybody love people like that. That's Jesus in you. That's exactly what I want done. And I saw my kids go through that humble ladies class and be loved on by the love of Jesus. And she had been doing that for 50 years. And she was not getting that at home. She was getting that from Christ. And she never ran out. That's a fountain of the Spirit of God in somebody. He says, when you believe in me, it'll be as there's fountains of living water. They'll spring up. And so, friends, if your sprinkler is looking plugged, clean it. Okay? There is not a lack of supply in the Spirit of God. We haven't touched what the Spirit wants to do. But I think we're opening some. And so I want to celebrate that. I want to say, hey, this is good. And yet I want to say what? Abound! Still more! Let's go! What could happen if we took the gospel to 10,000 as to 1,000? What does God... He wants all 85,000 people in Josephine County to have heard, to have known. I mean... George was sharing that John 3:16. It was just a couple years ago, and I was standing in a hospital with a man I'd talked to time again and time again, and he would not let me share scripture with him. And as he was facing a surgery which could be telling him his life was going to be over, I said, could I please just share one verse with you? All right. It's always nice when you feel so welcome to witness, you know. All right. And all I did was John 3:16. And he said, I've never heard that. 57 years old in our county. He said, I've never heard that. Now, had somebody shared that with him before? I don't know. But did you hear what he said? I've never heard that. Friends, there are people around you. It's not that they haven't had somebody audibilize to them. All right? It's just that maybe it didn't connect at that time. So don't give up. Get up, go on, love them for Jesus. All right? All right. Now, what does that look like? Look at verse 13. And greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's such an awesome statement. And that's why I was so delighted that we were able to put that on the side of that float. In fact, we were standing there waiting for the parade to start, and one of the judges was walking by. And she read it, and she turned to her partner judge and says, oh, that gives me chills to read that. There's a message there, friends. This is the greatest love that can be shown, is to lay down your life. Love acts sacrificially for the benefit of those loved. It acts sacrificially. It doesn't just be nice. See, that's where I think sometimes we've come to, is we settle for being nice. I'm so glad Jesus went way beyond being nice to me. He was sacrificial. When we were wickedly nailing him there to the cross, when we were saying, you deserve to die, crucify him, he was saying, not my will but yours be done. He sacrificially demonstrated his love for us. Read this verse with me, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True? Christ died for us. I can't fathom that. I can only accept that. You know what I mean? I just can't get to the bottom of that well. I can't comprehend how deep that is. But that he loved someone who didn't love him. He loved someone who didn't like him. Who loved someone who didn't respect him, didn't trust him. Some of you got people like that around you. That's why you need the fullness of the Spirit. That's why you get on your knees before you get out of bed. I know that sounds awkward, but Do it. Just do it. You're praying before you're starting, because once you get started, sometimes you're already off on the left foot. Friends, He loves you. He loves me. And He did what was needed. Not necessarily what was desired. And sometimes in people's lives, when we love them the way they need to be loved, it's tough. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's discipline. There are difficult things that come because of love. Don't think this is just a warm, mushy thing. Okay? But if you've heard this, the question is, have you received it? That God loves me. Have you received that? Are you trusting Him as what you need? That was the interesting thing, was to look at people, and I know I'm just looking at covers. You know, you're just looking at covers. But as you're handing them a Gospel of John, knowing that this has the directions for eternal life, this has the greatest story ever told in it, and to have people go, "Don't touch me with that thing." You know, people avoiding it. And it's the greatest thing ever. And I just, it honestly, in spots it grieved me. The parade was moving too fast to grieve very long, and then there was other people asking for them, so it was encouraging as you went along. But there's a thought, friends, that says there are people who will avoid this even though it's needed. Here's the thing. So if you're going to love like Jesus loves, if you're going to be obedient, you need to look at the people around you and say, what is love now? What is love here? What is needed in this situation? We all kind of could come up with a list of what we would like. I'd like these people to be doing this and this and this and this for me. We have our honey do this list for others, don't we? Would you please treat me this way? But what did Jesus say? You treat others the way you want to be treated. He said, that's the golden rule. Friends, I want to say something that may sound weird, but I've done that before. Laying down your life is logical when you love somebody. That's what love does. Grandmoms do it. Moms do it. Dads do it. You do what's needed. You love someone, that's what they need, that's what you do. That's what Jesus set as an example for us. Friends, what am I talking about? It's service beyond pleasure. I watched people this last week, very, very busy week, trying to work on some of these things, and, you know, bringing plants by the other night to get ready to put on the float. And the guys were still building the float. It was 10 o'clock at night. Were they tired? Yeah, they were tired. Service beyond pleasure. You do what needs to get done because you know it'll be worth it. That's what we think of here at Memorial Day. You look back to pictures of D-Day, you go, anybody think they looked at that and says, oh, this looks like a fun activity today, let's go to the beach. No. Let's stop the enemy in his tracks. Let's confront the enemy. The Bible says we're to resist the devil. You have to storm some beaches sometimes, friends. There's people attacking you. And it may even be, as oftentimes happens in war, friendly fire. It doesn't change. You do what he's called you to do. And he said, love just as I love. Friends, sometimes love is very inconvenient. Like a baby crying in the night. You ever had a baby wake up in the night and you just really wanted him to wake up? You know, I just can never remember that. Go, hey, you know, that's about the time I was feeling like getting up right now. So what did he say? Jesus went on. He said, now look at, he says, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Now, that's a little different. We don't generally command our friends, do we? We need to remember who we're being friends with here. But the God of the universe is saying, I want to have a friendship relationship with you. In fact, I even heard a preacher say this is why we're not supposed to be we don't have this intimate relationship with God. We're actually supposed to be slaves. And he actually took this passage and completely flopped it. I don't know how you can twist scripture like that. But he says, you're my friends if you do what I command. A friend who is Christ has the right to command this kind of response. He says, this is how you and I are going to connect in relationship. Sometimes we have family coming through and they'll say, hey, we're coming through, but we've got to be someplace at a certain time. But if you'll come out, you know, to Sherry's out here, we'll meet you alongside the highway. We can stop for a little while, right? And so if you want to connect, you have to go make that connection. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that Jesus says, if you want to be my friend, you're going to have to choose to obey me. You're going to have to move after me, because he was going someplace. Jesus was always going someplace. He'd get up the next morning and he'd move. If you're going to go with Jesus, you're going to be a friend of Jesus, you're going to have to go places you wouldn't go. You're going to have to do things you wouldn't do. But that's what friends do, isn't? You know, I know we've got a couple guys here that are doing pretty well at that. I love seeing that between brothers. They stir each other up, say, hey, you know, so-and-so told me they wanted some help with this, and I told them you'd be happy to help. You know, and so we sign each other up for stuff. We got some brothers and some sisters who are doing that great with each other. I mean, that's a cool thing. That's what friends do. You just put each other in an awkward spot and get the job done, all right? Because it changes the world. What did Jesus say? Luke 6:46. Why you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do what I say. Don't call me the boss and flip me off. Don't call me the boss and just walk away. Don't say I am who I am and yet ignore me. Now notice, I want to have this friendship relationship with you. Now look what he says next. No longer do I call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his master is doing. I've called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus views those who obey as friends rather than slaves. He says, I'm going to reveal things to you. When you step forward to do what God calls you to do, he will reveal more truth to you. There's certain things you only learn by what? Doing. You just, you know... Go ahead, you know, you can try and teach somebody to swim, but you got to get them wet, don't you? You really do. And all of a sudden you get in the water and everything that person said makes a whole lot of sense, but you learn a whole lot more as soon as you get wet. Isn't that right? And he says, I'm not going to call you a slave. I'm going to call you my friend, and I'm going to reveal more to you when you step forward in this way, when you forgive the way I've told you to forgive, when you begin serving in the way I've told you to serve, when you let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. When you do that, he says, I'm going to show you more of me than you've seen before. So friends of Jesus, get it. And when you get it, then I give to those who get it. I do more. You look at the stories of Jesus, don't you think that Peter, James, and John understood more than Bartholomew? I mean, I don't know why he wasn't as close, but clearly these other guys, they were in there. Now, interesting to note, those who got it, those who were closer, are recorded as having made more mistakes. Yeah, they spoke up in situations where they shouldn't have spoke up, and they did stuff that they shouldn't have done, and the Bible tells us their stories, but they were closer with Jesus. Friends, obedience, this idea of being a friend, not a slave, obedience is not being dominated by God. It's being motivated by his love. Some people are just really fighting this idea of being a person who will obey him. Yeah, I'm not letting God control me. I'm not going to let God dominate me. God doesn't want to dominate you. He wants to free you. He wants to explode His love and life through you and on you. And notice what He says here. Verse 16. Very interesting. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Well, isn't that the truth? Didn't He choose you? He pulled you in. You weren't making those choices. He made that choice for you. We can look back and see what God was doing. Sometimes we come in, we think, hey, I chose, but He did this work. He says, I appointed you. Why? That you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. God says, I want you to be fruitful. Jesus chose you to be a fruitful disciple. A little disappointed going over some of my apple trees this spring because for whatever reason, they didn't do near as well as we'd pruned them to do. You know, it's really hard. You worked and you worked and you worked. And what was I working for? Fruitfulness. I want something to come out of it. Friends, Jesus says, I chose you, what? So that you would bear fruit. I want to produce something in you. You're not just here to go to heaven. Friends, if you were just saved just to go to heaven, the moment you get saved, snap and you're out. But He's got a plan for you right now that you would produce fruit. I chose you for that purpose. Now, what's fruit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things that you are like totally abounding in, right? Why do I hear people say, well, don't pray for patience. I don't want to be fruitful like that. Really? Anything that's in that list, we ought to be pursuing. In fact, He then says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. You know, there is no characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that God will not give you. You ask for that? You may not have it. I have people tell me, well, I really don't have much patience. Oh, I'm not very gentle. Or I ask. He wants to bear fruit through you. That's what He chose you to do. Ask. But where does fruit come from? You don't buy a box of these and tie them onto a tree. Right? It's not something you produce by your effort. It flows out of what? Life. Remember we said Jesus Christ is the center and source of life? As His life flows through us, fruit is produced. Friends, the interesting thing is when fruit is produced, it gives you the potential to bless other people. Gary, I've never had you in the front row before. I just got to bless you here, brother.
Thank you.
Now taste that. I want to see if that's any good. Isn't that good? That's good. And the interesting thing is, when you share what God is producing in you, what does it do? It blesses those around you. You see that? That's what fruit is supposed to be for. The tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. It bears it for those who cared for it. It's doing it for someone else's benefit. And then inside every piece of fruit, there's what? There's seeds. There is the reproduction opportunity. Not just the opportunity to bless with the character and the love and the life of Christ, but the very life of Christ could be reproduced in you, that the gospel of God is the seed, the core of who you are. And as you share your love of Christ with others, they are going to get a seed. And then God grows that in a marvelous way. Does that make sense? Friends, discipleship is a lifestyle of loving like Jesus loves. It is simple, and yet it is way complex. Every relationship will change as you walk this thing out. And yet, I want to tell you, He wants to bless somebody else through you. That's really good. It really is good. Is anybody saying that when they come up against you? Wow, that was really good. Sometimes when I talk to some of you, I just get this word of truth from you guys. It is such a blessing. It just lifts my spirit. There's something that happens. When you relate to somebody else, it just blesses you. Sometimes you just see somebody else serving. Doesn't it just lift you up? You just go, whoa. You letting Jesus flow through you will change everyone around you, because Jesus always changes things. Friends, three things he brought out of here: obeying, loving, asking. Pursue that. It's the life of a disciple. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the very life and joy of Jesus Christ. I thank you as I look across this family. How many times the sweetness of your spirit has flowed into my life because of them. And I've watched them pouring into others, even as we saw so abundantly yesterday. Particularly, Lord, with our youth. And I just pray you just would super abound in them and on us, that we might overflow the love of Christ as your disciples. Father, if there's one listening today that has not turned to Jesus, I pray you'd make them hungry for your love. That even today, they'd say, I need that. I want that. Jesus, change me. Would you turn them to that very statement, that they would repent, that they'd turn back to you and let you change them. Lord, may we live in such a way that your love is manifested daily, hourly, minute by minute, to those around us, and especially to the tough ones. For the glory of Christ, we ask it. Amen.